Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight as we again come into the house of God, the place that you have so graciously given us and provided for us to meet in, to worship you, to praise you, to sing to you, to give our tithes and offerings to your work, to meet together and fellowship one with another and with you. We thank you, my Father, for those who came out tonight, those who are watching, those who are listening. And I pray, my Father, you'd help us to be receptive to your word and to be instructed thereby. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to change what we need to change. Help us to grow where we need to grow and to do what we need to do so that we might be more pleasing to you, more profitable to those around us. I just pray, my Father, that you might open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person to receive your word. Guide us and direct us now, Father. We thank you, praise you, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Timothy was a young preacher who had a lot to learn. His mentor, the Apostle Paul, wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to instruct and edify Timothy and us. Paul is encouraging Timothy to carefully pursue Christian excellence. If the believer is not in active pursuit of Christian growth and development, then he or she is in danger of stagnation and regression. Paul mentions a couple of cankers in the church in verse 17, and their names are Hymenaeus and Philetus. And they were teaching false doctrine. Obviously, they did not study to show themselves approved unto God, and they were unable to rightly divide the word of truth, and they were causing confusion and havoc in the church of God. And so he says to this young preacher, he said, I want you to be strong in chapter 2, verse 1, and I want you to endure afflictions in chapter 2, verse 3, and I want you to be strict in chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. I want you to be sure in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. I want you to study in chapter 2, verse 15. I want you to be sanctified in chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. And I want you to keep a servant's heart in chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And right in the middle of all that instruction and all that encouragement to Timothy, he drops this section about these two cankerous individuals who were causing trouble in the church with false doctrine and the idea of being a vessel in the house of God, a vessel of gold or a vessel of silver. Now, I praise the Lord for who He is. We learned a little bit about God and saw a little bit about His greatness, His majesty this morning. And I want to please Him with my life. And Paul wanted to please Him with his life. And Timothy, he wants Timothy to please Him with his life. And I want you to please Him with your life. And so tonight we're going to look at a few things that he teaches us. He's telling Timothy to beware about these two fellows, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Why? Because more of them were coming, according to chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Over the years, I observed many different kinds of Christians. And tonight, I'd like to speak about three. And my first Christian, the first man, we'll just say the first man I want to mention tonight, I call him the illustrious man. The word illustrious has the meaning of famous or celebrated or eminent. And I would use the illustrious man to be an illustration of the Christian whose salvation and Christian life is precious to them. This individual is serious and lives to please the Lord and has a good testimony, a clean life, a dedicated walk, and a heart for God, and therefore they are an illustrious individual, an illustrious man, an eminent individual. And he or she is characterized by certain things. The first one is they are illuminated by the Spirit of God. The illustrious man is illuminated by the Spirit of God. Like Stephen, of whom it is said in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power. And in chapter 7, verse 55, he being full of the Holy Ghost. And in chapter 6, verse 15, all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. And so here's this young man, Stephen. He's being brought before the council to be interrogated and to be intimidated and to be questioned down about this preaching of the gospel that he's involved in. And when they had him standing there and looked at him, they realized this man's full of the Holy Ghost, and it said his face was as if they were seeing the face of an angel. This man had the light of God in him, and it shined out through him. There is a countenance about those who walk and talk with God. There's something about coming into the presence of the Lord and spending time with Him and His Word that does something to us. It's a kind of what I call a Shekinah. There was a Shekinah glory that is ascribed to God. I believe Adam had a Shekinah glory in the garden, and I've told you before that I believed that was their clothing, the Shekinah glory of God. And when they disobeyed God, all of a sudden the lights went out. All of a sudden the Shekinah glory was kind of gone. And they knew that they were naked. I believe it's the kind of glow that Moses had when he came down from the mount. He spent time with God. He was in the presence of God. And he heard God's word. And he saw the hinder parts of God. And his glory stuck to his face. And the Shekinah of God was there. And I believe that when Christians spend time with God, and they walk with God and talk with God, they have a Shekinah about them. It's not necessarily a physical glow, but it is a glow. I've seen sinners get saved and get a shine on their face. I've seen hard features soften. I've seen frown lines turn to smile lines. I've just seen eyes begin to twinkle with a twinkle they didn't have before. The Shekinah, if you will. But then I've seen Christians who did not spend time with God and saw that Shekinah dwindle away. The illustrious man is illuminated by the Spirit of God. Number two, the illustrious man is informed by the Word of God. Like Timothy here in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is the word of truth. It's a big book. It is a lot of stuff in here. And we need to be able to go through the book and have discernment and discretion and to rightly divide it and to know, compare Scripture with Scripture and know the things of God and how they play out in the Word and how they relate to each other and how they relate to us. We have to compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 15. and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Go over to chapter 4 and look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's all part of being informed by the word of God. He said, Timothy, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be an illustrious man, you've got to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and you've got to be informed by the word of God. The illustrious man makes the knowledge of the word of God a permanent endeavor in his life. Reading and hearing and memorizing and hiding the word of God in his heart. And so the illustrious man is illuminated by the Spirit of God. He is informed by the Word of God. But if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we find that number 3, he's involved in the work of God. Illuminated by the Spirit of God, informed by the Word of God, and involved in the work of God, like Stephanas. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us with us and laboreth. Whatever needed doing, you can count on Stephanas. Whatever needed taken care of, you could count on Stephanas and his family. Why? They were addicted to the work of the ministry. Their family would do it. They were helpers. They were laborers in the ministry. So the illustrious man, the eminent Christian, is illustrious because of his intimacy with God. Stephen and Timothy and Stephanas were ordinary men who lived lives and trusted their futures and were wrapped up in the things of God. They were illustrious vessels, and they found themselves to be, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, vessels of gold and silver in the house of God. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. The illustrious man is a vessel of gold and a vessel of silver in the house of God, and he is unto honor. But let's look at the second man tonight. I call the second man the indiscriminate man. The word indiscriminate means haphazard, without direction, characterized by lack of order or planning, by irregularity, or by randomness. This is the Christian that lives their lives in spits and spurts, in starts and stops, in on and off, and up and down. You know what I'm talking about. They never seem to get on track, but only for short periods of time. They're saved, but they're not really walking in victory. The indiscriminate man is indiscriminate because he's characterized by several things. Number one, he is insensitive to the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He is insensitive to the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, we usually key in on that grieve not the Spirit part, and we will in just a moment, but I like that part, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What Paul's trying to help the Ephesians understand is, listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you and has sealed Himself in you and will not leave you nor forsake you, but will stay with you until the day of redemption, until you go home to be in glory. The Holy Spirit is there. Be aware of it. Be cognizant of it. Be concerned about it. And don't grieve Him. How do we grieve Him? Well, according to verse 28, by sinful actions. Let him that stole steal no more. According to verse 29, sinful speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In verse 31, it's sinful attitudes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so the indiscriminate man has sinful actions, sinful speech, and sinful attitudes here and there, popping up all over the place, because he's not sensitive to the Spirit of God. Oh, he feels remorse, and he apologizes to men, and he confesses to God, but quickly finds himself right back again in the same spot. Sensitivity to the Spirit of God needs to be developed before we sin, not only after we sin. In other words, we need to be able to be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, not just sensitive to His convicting. See, He will prompt us before we get into sin, but if we're insensitive and we don't feel or respond to that prompting, then we have to wait until He convicts us. And even then, sometimes we're not sensitive, and it has to chasten us. Number two, he's insecure in his walk. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is the individual, the indiscriminate man, is the man who has a haphazard Christian life, an unorganized Christian life. And therefore, he's not adding or growing these individual things to his faith. This is a, you know, he's saved. And he's glad he's saved, but that's as far as it goes. The Bible says here that we're supposed to add these things, doesn't it? And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith. So what happens? When a Christian does not add to their faith, when they're not growing in the Lord, what happens? Stagnation, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And eventually regression in verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never what? Fall. It's not talking about falling away from salvation. It's talking about falling away from a steadfastness. And so the indiscriminate Christian who has a haphazard Christian life that isn't real serious about it is a Christian who, if they're not growing, because they'll become stagnant and regress, and that makes them insecure in their walk. Number three, they're indifferent in their attitude. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And so this indiscriminate man is insensitive to the Spirit of God, insecure in his walk because he's not growing, and he's indifferent in his attitude. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Showing indifference to sin. It's like this is going on, and they're saying, hey, it's no biggie. It's a biggie. It's like Lot, who wore down and became indifferent to the wickedness around himself, even to that which was in his own home. Indifferent. Indifferent about the work of the ministry. Indifferent about the condition of the home. What do we allow to be present in our homes? What kind of conversations take place in our homes? What kind of attitudes exist in our home? What kind of internet? What kind of television? What kind of books? What kind of magazines or whatever have you? What kind of homes do we have? Is it because we're indifferent to sin that we allow these things? That's being indiscriminate. Once in a while we help, once in a while we'll get involved, but we can really can't be counted on. Our life is too haphazard to be counted on. You see, the indiscriminate man. The indiscriminate man is one who can clean up his spiritual house occasionally, but does not concern himself about keeping it clean. Now in my lifetime, I've known people like that. You know, they'll get their house all cleaned up and then it's like that. It's great for like a day. And it's all downhill from there. People are like that with their spiritual lives. They'll come to church. They'll hear a message. They'll get all excited. They'll come forward. They'll kneel at the altar. They'll make some decisions. They'll go home, make some changes. But then pretty soon, because they are indiscriminate, because they are insensitive to the Holy Spirit, and they're insecure in their walk, and they're indifferent in their attitude, the spiritual house starts to get cluttered again. It starts to get filthy again. And they live from clean up to clean up. This would be an individual. Now, the illustrious man is the vessel of gold and silver in the great house. But this is the individual who is the vessel of earth and wood, mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, in the great house. This is God's great house, isn't it? The illustrious man is a gold and silver vessel of service in the house. The indiscriminate man is a vessel of wood and of earth in the great house. And then lastly, we have the illustrated man. By this I mean, this is the Christian whose rise and fall becomes an illustration of the preacher. This is the fellow or the lady who someone says, I knew a man. I knew a woman. I knew a preacher. I knew a deacon. I knew... And then go on to use that person as an illustration of falling away. The illustrated man. This man or woman has become the vessel of shame and dishonor. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 2 said some are to honor and some are to dishonor? You see, the illustrious man is to honor gold and silver. The indiscriminate man is the wood and the earth. But this is the individual who is the dishonorable vessel, a vessel under dishonor. One time they were on fire. One time they were right with God. One time they were esteemed. At one time they were involved, but no longer. Because this individual is characterized by the fact that he or she is insincere of heart. Like Demas, who Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy 4:10, where he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. How sad. The long haul proves the strength of a person's dedication to God and His work, doesn't it? It's the long haul, my friends. I've said many times, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Everybody at the marathon starts out great. They're all full of energy. Their legs are all ready to go. They're all hydrated. They are ready. And they take off. And one by one, they drop away. They drop away. They drop away. They drop away. And the first ones to drop away are the ones that weren't, that didn't dedicate themselves to preparation for the race. They're just in it for the fun. The long haul proves the strength of a person's dedication to God. Demas eventually blew out, didn't he? The attractions of the world became irresistible once the celebrity and luster of the ministry wore thin. The ministry is not always fun and games. The ministry is not always hurrah and pats on the back. The ministry is not always victory after victory and always on the top of the mountain. There's valleys to go through. There's battles to fight. There's situations to deal with. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Demas did not do that. Demas didn't keep his heart. He allowed the world to reach in and get his heart. Demas hath forsaken me. You can almost hear Paul saying, I can't believe it. Demas hath forsaken me. Why, Paul? Why would he do that? What did you do? Paul said, I didn't do anything. He said, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He allowed the love of the world and the love for the world to reach into his heart and get it. It's not how you start, but how you finish that counts. Isn't that right? And so the illustrated man is insincere of heart. Number two, he's intemperate in actions. Like Nadab and Abihu. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10 and see these two fellows. Intemperate. Leviticus chapter 10. Verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. The word intemperate means excessive. Excessive indulgence of appetite or passion, lack of moderation or due restraint, as in action or speech. Nadab and Abihu, they wanted to do what Aaron did. They wanted to do what the high priest did. They wanted to get in on that, but they weren't called to do that, and they took strange fire. They were intemperate. They couldn't control themselves. They didn't control themselves. And they took a fire. Listen, the fire that you brought before the Lord was a prescribed fire, and they took an unprescribed fire, a strange fire, something that God did not ask them to do and something that God did not require of them, and they thought they could just do any old thing they wanted, the only old way they wanted to do it. I have a whole message on strange fire. It's entitled, Strange Fire. And the message is all about bringing to God what we think we can bring, what we want to bring, instead of what God wants us to bring. Nadab and Abihu were intemperate. They were quick to indulge in the flesh. Listen, this Christian is quick to lose his temper. This Christian is quick to say things, quick to take rash actions later to be regretted, intemperate in their actions. Many Christians go on to live long lives, but their lives full of regrets because of intemperance. And then thirdly, the illustrated man, the one that people use as illustrations of negativity, are men and women who have insincerity of heart, intemperance of action, and they are intoxicated with self. Turn with me to 3 John. Nadab and Abihu were intemperate. Demas was insincere. And Diotrephes of 3 John 1:9 was intoxicated with self. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Can you imagine turning away the Apostle Paul? But Diotrephes was intoxicated with self. Diotrephes was the man who had "it's all about me" attitude. Diotrephes was the man that it was me, my, and mine. And who knows how much good Diotrephes could have done had he not been intoxicated with himself. The Bible says he loved to have the preeminence. You hear that word, loved? What's the root of all evil? Money? No, the love of money. So when it says here that Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence, that means he set himself up as an idol before God. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, aren't we? And all our mind, and all our strength, and all our soul. But Diotrephes loved himself. He loved to have the preeminence. He didn't want the Lord Jesus to have the preeminence. He didn't want God to have the preeminence. He wanted to have the preeminence. This is the Christian who is the center of wisdom. The Christian who is the center of ability and the center of righteousness, at least to themselves. You know who I'm talking about, right? This kind of Christian usually ends up as a vessel that gets set aside. The illustrious man is a vessel of gold and silver in the great house. The indiscriminate man is a vessel of earth and wood in the great house. But the illustrated man is the one who doesn't even get used. He gets set aside because he's too full of himself to be a vessel to be used in the service of the king. You see, a vessel is supposed to be filled with something. And if you're so filled with yourself, there's no room for God to put anything else in there to use you. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2:21 and we're finished. 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we began, verse 21. Look what it says. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. See, we need to be careful to strive to be a vessel of honor. It says here, if a man, therefore, purge himself. He's saying this is something you have to be concerned about. This is something you as a Christian need to work at. And remember, vessels of honor today are not guaranteed to be vessels of honor always. I have seen illustrious men become indiscriminate men. And I've seen indiscriminate men become illustrated men. But praise God, I've seen illustrated men and indiscriminate men have revival and become illustrious men. And vessels of dishonor need not remain vessels of dishonor, but become honored vessels of honor. What we need to do is we need to go and get cleansed in the fountain by the blood of the Lord Jesus and the water of the Word and be vessels of honor, meet or fit for the Master's use. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.